I'm sure you picked up very quickly the connection between the passage that JJ just read from 1 John and John 15 last week that we read, which we will look into a little bit more this morning. But please join with me as we pray before we go into God's Word this morning. We thank you, Father God, for the truth of your Word. We thank you that it's been preserved for us in our Bibles. And we thank you, Father God, that we have your Spirit to lead us into all truth. And so we pray this morning that that would be our experience, that we would be led into truth that deepens our love of Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. If you know that he, that is Jesus Christ, is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. And while these words are the words of the Apostle John, written many years after he walked with Jesus on this earth, we could quite easily continue John's passage with Jesus' own words, recorded by John himself in his Gospel. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. These are the words of Jesus that we could easily tack on. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Want to know how to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ? Abide in him. Abide in him through obedience to his commandments in his word. Practice righteousness that comes through his word. Be full of his joy in you through the treasuring of his word, so that your worship will bring glory to God the Father. It's not that hard, is it? Well, that's a lifetime of practice. That's a lifetime of practicing righteousness in our life. There are many ways we could express this, and mine is not the most eloquent, I'm sure, but I hope you will get the idea this morning of what it means, perhaps a little more, to abide in Christ. And so grow in your passion for him, grow in your knowledge and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How to do that well, or as Peter writes in his letter that we read earlier, how to do that effectively, has been our ambition as a church for nearly 42 years. Next week will be our anniversary, 42 years. But this mission, I think, has captured our focus for the last few years as we've refined our purpose, our mission, our values and our vision of being a healthy church, and how we have together discerned that the next step for us to take in our pursuit of this vision is hopefully these GPS groups. And at the risk of sounding like a bit of a broken record, let me quickly remind you of what is at the heart of the GPS groups, which we prayerfully hope will grow your passion, grow you in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. We want to see people grow deeper in Christ. We want to see people proclaim boldly through Christ. We want people to serve eagerly because of Christ. And in focusing this week on growing deeper in Christ, we've read 1 John chapter 2. I'm not going to dive too deeply into John's warnings concerning Antichrist, except to say that things haven't changed, have they, from when John wrote his warnings all those years ago. Many Antichrists have risen and many more will come to try to subvert the truth of the gospel of Christ. And unfortunately, many will be deceived by the lies and the false gospels they hear. We are in the last days, those final hours, as the church has been since Jesus returned to his Father in heaven and gave us our mission to make disciples of all people with the great promise that he would be with us to the end of the age. We are in that time since then. It's not our concern, Jesus says, to know when things will take place. We are not to live life paralyzed with fear or uncertainty or worry or even pursue finding out these things because we are the people of hope and we have our purpose in Christ and the guarantee of His Holy Spirit against that day of His return. We are to live in the light of that, not in the worry and fear of when these events will take place. John tells us how we are to live in 1 John 2 and in verses 20 and 21. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I don't write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Just take a moment to let that settle in your mind, in your thinking this morning, as we're talking about growing deeper in Christ. Here we are, disciples of Jesus, living in those last hours, those last days, months, maybe years, in this era, patiently waiting for Jesus to return in all His glory and to help us, actually not even to help us, to enable us to live in Him. We have been anointed, John says. Anointed with what? We've been anointed with the Holy Spirit of God Himself. Jesus told His disciples when He was with them, and His promise to them of His Spirit was to us as well, that we would not be left alone, not even, and even more than that, through abiding in Him, through the Spirit, we would be able to live and to do His will. We would be able to do His will. This is Jesus speaking in John chapter 14, and there's three passages that we're going to look at very quickly that's going to go into one another. Verses 15 and 17 of John 14. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Verses 20 to 21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. 25 to 26 of John 14, all this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Just in those three passages, think on those promises that we are given to enable us, not even help us, as I originally thought the word help was. No, they enable us to live, to abide in Christ. The gift of the Spirit is that we will, that He will teach us and lead us into all truth. And wherever you are on that journey with Jesus, fresh in the kingdom of God this week, or 50 years in, you have all you need for abiding in Him. Just go back to 1 John for a moment in verse 21. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. John wrote to every believer in the churches that read his letter. There was no clarification here. There was no little caveat. Oh, this bit is for those people who've been journeying their faith for quite some time. This is for people who've been on this journey for the X number of years. There was nothing like that. Even the most infant of believers had the Spirit of God, had His truth to enable them to live, to abide in Jesus through whatever they faced. Because the reason John wrote that is the same for every single one of us. I love the way John, an old man, very old by the standards of when he wrote his letters, reflected on his own journey of faith over all those years, and he was able to simply express his thoughts in this letter. It's not complicated to John. I write these things to you because there are people who are trying to deceive you. Has anything changed? Nothing has changed. People are still trying to distort the truth, still trying to change the gospel to suit themselves and to make it more palatable or to make it more acceptable. The truth is the truth. We can't change that. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Grow deeper in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So just as it has taught you, abide in him. So just how does the anointing of the Spirit of God enable us to know the truth and so abide in Christ? Verse 24 explains. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. The truth that the Spirit of God enables us to know is the truth of God's Word. The truth of God's Word. The teaching of the Scriptures. Jesus preaching and teaching. Paul's writings. Peter's letters. John's epistles. All of God's revelation throughout the Scriptures. So if that is the promise of the gift of the Spirit, we want to be able to abide in God's Word, then we want to abide in His Spirit as well. I think this is echoed throughout all of the New Testament. As we heard last week in Colossians 3:16 and in passages like Ephesians 5:17 to 21, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit of God, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And again, we could spend a lot of time unpacking so much of that. But do you see the connection between these passages? There are many connections, I'm sure there are, but one caught me, that we are to connect with each other through our knowledge of God's Word, teaching, admonishing each other whilst maintaining that unity and harmony as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ together. Being filled with the Spirit, abiding in the vine, all of us branches, each one of us branches, different shapes, different lengths, bits growing out of us, you know, but we're all the branches that have been grafted in to the one vine. On Wednesday night, JJ asked those of us who were zoomed in what we thought it meant to abide in the vine. And there were some wonderful reflections on this question. But I think Jesus had something to say about this. And again, John, in John chapter 6, says this, verse 57, as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. To know how to abide in Christ, consider how Christ abides in his Father. This is how much he wants this for us. Listen to this well-known passage again. Jesus prayed this for us, for you and for me. John 17, the glory that you've given me, I've given to them that they may be one even as we are one. In them, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them as you loved me. I think our attempts at understanding how to abide in Christ would do well to be modelled on Jesus' union with his Father. Andrew Murray, in his book Abide in Christ, wrote that even as Jesus experienced hardship and humiliation in his earthly life, he was blessed and strengthened by the knowledge that he was the object of infinite love of his Father. Probably the most understated moments in all of Scripture I think, are those times when we hear God's voice saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." It seems so underwhelming. This is the voice of God telling us how much He loves His Son, and reflect on then how much the Son depends on that love, on His union with His Father. What an image, what a picture of how we should then abide in Christ. Jesus abiding in His Father as our perfect model, and the heart of what Jesus came to die for us to experience in abiding in Him. John 5:19. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." Is there a better picture of what abiding means? Jesus could do nothing except what the Father willed. What does this teach us about abiding in Christ? How do you see it in the light of the verse that we found ourselves coming back to so often lately, John 15:5? "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." How do you see that verse in the light of what Jesus has just said about how he has to abide in the Father? Jesus' submission and dependence are so obvious in these passages. But we find submission and dependence, I think, uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. In the world, they would be seen as weakness, humiliating in our relationship. But for Jesus, submission and dependence were connected with blessing, connected with His dependence on His Father, where He got His strength from. As we read recently in Philippians, Jesus wasn't concerned about what He would lose by surrendering to His Father's will. He didn't count His equality with God something to be grasped and held on to. Okay, I'll do that, but I've got to keep maintain this. He didn't bargain with God about that. He willingly gave those things away to do His Father's will because He was completely confident of the assurance of His Father's love for Him. John 5:20-21, "For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He Himself is doing, and greater works than these He will show Him, so that you may marvel." What are you going to marvel at? You marvel at the union between the Father and the Son, the dependence of the Son on the Father. You marvel at the love of the Father for the Son, to the point where the Son will willingly do the Father's will. "For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom He will." And so as we read in John 15:5 and discover our complete need, our absolute dependence on abiding in Christ because of Him, because apart from Him we can do nothing, just as Jesus could do nothing apart from His Father. We too will find our assurance and our strength of character in the same promise that Jesus depended on. We read recently in Philippians 4, Jesus didn't consider all those things a loss because He understood the Father's love for Him. And so in Philippians 4, what Paul tells us, Jesus relied on as well. "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." There's no loss there. Jesus could do all things because He was doing the Father's will. We can do all things through Him who strengthens us as we abide in Him. The paradox of these statements, the promise, the results in the blessing of the life, abiding in Christ, living in Christ, it's lost on our world. It's lost on our world. But because we have the Spirit of God, we see the truth of it. And so we live in the light of that truth. How does GPS fit into all of this? When I was writing this out, this felt such a clunky section. I've been talking about all this abiding and about the love. Well, let me conclude with these last two verses from 1 John chapter 2, 28 and 29. And hopefully this will put GPS into the context of of this passage. And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. John has reminded us that these are the last hours. We are just as expectant today as John's readers were 2,000 years ago. And when Jesus returns, there will be two types of people. Those who will face him with regret and shame, and those who will face him with the confidence of his promises and a righteousness that comes from faith in him. But John concludes this section of his letter with this phrase: you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Firstly, there's the key. You must be born again. You must be born of Christ. And then what does it mean to practice righteousness? Jesus told us what it means. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded. Paul said to the Colossians, if they've been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And as we started this morning, Peter has instructed us and his readers to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This is the heart of our mission, to make disciples of Jesus grow in their passion for him, to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, to comply with God's will through his Spirit and conform less to the pattern and the thinking and the actions of this world, but to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And any plan or program or activity that churches organise to do this has to be helpful. It must be helpful. It must be. None of them will be perfect. They won't do everything that everyone wants. But having prayed about this and discerned that the GPS groups are a good way for us to build, to grow in our passion for Jesus, it's the encouragement of JJ, of myself, of the deacons, that this is the way for us to do this right now and moving into the next phase of our church's purpose for existing. We want all of us to grow deeper in Christ, to intentionally, purposefully proclaim boldly through Christ, and to creatively serve eagerly because of Christ, each other and those around us in the wider community, to the glory of God now until the day of eternity. Amen. Please, let's pray together. Father, we've read through your word this morning and there's a lot to take in. And there's a lot to take in, Father, as we seek to be a church that grows deeper in our knowledge and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that seeks ways to boldly proclaim Jesus Christ to those around us, who eagerly seeks ways to serve each other and our community so that others will get to know Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that you would bless us in our attempts. We know that any plan we have isn't perfect, and we know that any plan that we have won't work unless you are in it. And so, Father, we pray you to bless us in our pursuit of Jesus through the GPS groups. But more than that, Father God, we pray that your word and your Spirit would continue to reveal to each of us what it means to grow in our passion, in our love of him. We thank you that you have journeyed with us and brought us through these 42 years as a church up till now. We pray, Father God, as we continue to seek to do this more and more, that you would bless us in our efforts. And so we pray you would bless this time in your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.